Blog Talk Radio.
Network marketing and community group investments. While we believe that one cannot buy the business, the many of us can. Tonight, we're going to, not only tonight, but for the rest of this month, we're going to defer from talking about business because this is our holy month of Ramadan, and we're going to concentrate all month on different Ramadan sessions. Tonight, we are blessed and we're very privileged to have my special guest, a very good friend of mine, and, by the way, and also the assistant imam at the historic Masjid Muhammad here in Washington, D.C. Brother Benjamin Hogg will be our special guest, and when we return, you will hear from the brother. Be right back.
My days have grown so lonely. For you I cry, for you kneel only. Why haven't you seen it? I'm all for you, body. I spend my days in longing. You know it's you that I am longing. Oh, I tell you I mean it. I'm all for you, bye. Can't believe it, it's hard to conceive it, that you throw away romance. Are you pretending it looks like the ending? Unless I can have one more chance to prove dear. My life a wreck you're making. You know I'm yours for just the taking. Oh, I tell you I mean it. I'm all for you, body and soul.
And welcome back to the New African Business Association Blog Radio. Again, we have our special guest, Assistant Imam of the historical Masjid Muhammad here in Washington, D.C. Imam Brother Benjamin Hogg is our guest. And Brother Ben, are you with us?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Ramadan Mubarak.
Yes, Ramadan Mubarak. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, like I'm saying, Brother Ben, before you get started, I know this is sort of off the subject, but I know you was a very good friend of Muhammad Ali's. Of course, last weekend we did a session on him, but once you got back in town, I know that you and Brother
Emily close.
You had a lot of time with him. Yes, sir.
Well, I think we got a bad connection because I can bet it's cutting you on and off.
It's cutting you on and off?
Yes, I can barely hear everything you're saying.
Okay, what about now?
No. Maybe I should go through my computer?
No, because
I'm on the phone. I called you on the phone.
Yes, I have you on, and I'm looking at your number. We got perfect connections here, so I hear you very well.
Okay.
And you're coming through the station very well.
Okay. Well, I think I think you said you asked me about Muhammad Ali, correct?
Yes, sir. And I know we're going to go into Ramadan, but I know you spent quite a bit of time with him. I wanted to just share a few moments.
Well, first, let me say Imam Sharif wanted to extend the greetings to everyone, all the listening audience. Commander Talib Sharif is the resident imam, Master Muhammad, the nation's mosque, America's mosque here in the nation's capital. And he wanted to extend the greetings to everyone. So on his behalf, let me say assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak. In regards to Muhammad Ali, I met Muhammad Ali when I was 19 years old. And over the years, we developed a friendship. I got to know him and his wife, Lonnie. And recently, I spent some time with him last September at his home in Louisville, Kentucky, as well as that was in September. And in October, I flew to Arizona to spend more time with him. You know, we all know his health was failing, but he was still coherent. Some people didn't realize that he was. He was able to still communicate with his eyes and with his hands. But nevertheless, I spent time with him in Arizona, and we watched a cowboy movie together. He likes cowboy movies and Elvis Presley movies, which was fascinating. So we sat down, we ate my gracious wife, Lonnie, fixed us something to eat, and we had a beautiful time. And I think it's wonderful that we pay respect to him opening up, going into Ramadan, this Ramadan session on the blog radio, New Africa Blog Radio here, because that's also, to me, that's also a testimony to the fact that Allah loved him. I really believe that. For him to pass, the Ramadan like this, and to bring 22,000 people into a stadium. We were there. Imam Sharif was also there, Imam Talib Sharif. He was there too, with a number of other Muslims and non-Muslims, and actually the non-Muslims, I believe, outnumbered the Muslims in attendance. 22,000 people were in the stadium for the memorial program on Friday, and the janaza, I don't know how many, but it was jam-packed, crowded for the janaza on Thursday. So I hope I did give a little overview somewhat of what you asked me regarding Muhammad Ali during this month of Ramadan. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, sir, Brother Ben. Go right ahead. One of the things I like to remind you, Brother Brent, you may want to give me a number out again to the listeners. Of course, I'll do it for you real quick, and you can continue.
Wait a minute. I have to, Bilal, I hate to keep cutting you off. I can, it's still somewhat of a bad connection. I can hear some things you're saying.
Maybe I need to go.
That's a little better. That's a little better, yeah.
Now you're coming in excellent, Brother Ben. So, again, I would suggest you just go ahead and continue with your show. I'd like to just tell the listeners who you can call in and ask Brother Ben questions. That number would be 657-383-1373. And with that said, Brother Ben, please continue.
Well, regarding Ramadan, let me just open up with speaking, well, I guess we're already open, speaking of Muhammad Ali and Ramadan. But for our listening audience, I'd like to also say that the month of Ramadan, as Allah tells us in the Quran, is the month in which the Quran was sent down as a guidance to humanity, as clear evidence, a judgment for us to learn right from wrong. Allah also tells us in the Quran that, O you who believe, fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, that we may learn piety, righteousness, self-restraint. And the Quran itself is not a book of the Muslims. Oftentimes people say, oh, that's the Muslims' holy book or it's the book of the Muslims. And quite frankly, Ali, the Imam Wasi Muhammad, made it clear. And Prophet Muhammad made it clear that the Quran is the book that's given to humanity. And also Prophet Muhammad himself was given to humanity. So when we read, when we go and read the Quran during the month of Ramadan, Allah says, you know, for us to fast, that is prescribed for us, just like a doctor would prescribe a prescription for someone who's ailing. But Allah also tells us not only is it a prescription for us, but it's also to bring us back to a level of taqwa, bring us back to the consciousness that God is, that we should be conscious at all times and have a regardfulness, a respect, and a consciousness of Allah, the creator of us all. And some people say, well, when you say Allah, it may alienate the person who's not a Muslim. Not necessarily. In Muslim countries, even Christians call God Allah. The name Allah is a name that's used to identify Allah as the creator of the heavens and the earth. And in Muslim countries, if you've ever been to anywhere, Saudi Arabia, or either, let's say, Lebanon, where you have Christians and Muslims, and there we would hear them saying things like, Inshallah, God willing. We would hear them saying, Mashallah, it was God's will. And it's not really these phrases that we use as Muslims, and I'm saying it's also for a non-Muslim audience. These are not phrases that strictly Muslim phrases. You know, we hear the Muslims here in America say that, you know, inshallah, mashallah. But in reality, it's the Arabic language that the Arab Muslims use themselves in the Middle East. So Allah tells us that He wants us to fast. He wants us to practice self-restraint. And, you know, we see today, even with the recent situation today, where a person who claimed to be Muslim did some things that was terrible. And I'm not going to get into that right now. That someone asked a question on it. But the bottom line is that we ought to learn self-restraint. We ought to bring us back to a level of taqwa, God consciousness. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, told us in the hadith, as hadith it says, when the month of Ramadan starts, that the gates of heaven are open and the gates of hell are closed, and that Shaitan is chained up. Here we want to look at the fact that as we progress through this month of Ramadan, Allah is teaching us, as He does in the Quran, that He wants us to bring out the best in us, not the worst in us. The whole idea is to bring out the best in us, not the worst. And in the Quran, Allah tells us He tests us. But He also tells us in the Quran He has allowed Shaitan to tempt us. And even for the Christian, in the Gospel and the Torah, they form what's called the Bible. In the Gospel and the Torah, of course, we know that Shaitan has also been let. He was called the devil. He wasn't called Shaitan. He's called Satan. Iblis, and Iblis before calling Shaitan. He evolved to become Shaitan, and Allah allowed him to test us. The whole idea is to bring out the best in us. So when Allah tells the angels, as they question about you're going to create a human being or create a creature that's going to cause bloodshed, Allah said, I know what you know not. And here's the common sense point that we may want to point out, that Imam Muhammad has pointed out to many of us, is that Allah breathes His spirit, and even that's in the Bible also, and in the Quran. Allah says He breathes His spirit into us, into the human being. He didn't breathe it into the angels or to the jinn. And Shaitan was not an angel, he was a jinn. And so He didn't breathe it into them, He breathed it into us. So during the month of Ramadan, we want to have a clarity of message. We want to understand that Allah is guiding us during the month of Ramadan. Imam Muhammad mentioned that the Quran is the key. He said it makes it possible, the Quran makes it possible for us to have our human intellect connected back to the creation, to have our human intellect increase. It's not just a book of rituals or teaching us about rituals. It's a book of life. That's what it is. And that's what Ramadan does. It comes back to bring us back around and gives us our soul back, our center. Oftentimes, people say, well, you know, you all go all day and you don't eat. Isn't that tough? And it's really not. It's not as tough as people think it is. You know, here we have 1.6 billion Muslims in the world. And right now, a good portion of it, some people say millions. I like to say at least a billion. At least out of that 1.6 billion, I would like to believe that at least 1 billion are fasting. So people say, okay, why else do you fast for God consciousness? We fast also with the intention to bring us closer to Allah, to bring us closer to God, to repent, to be forgiven of our sins. We say also, too, Prophet Muhammad, that the Ramadan is split up in three stages, the first 10 days being mercy, the next 10 being forgiveness, and the last 10 days of Ramadan being emancipation from, or either salvation, but man, I like to say emancipation from the hellfire. So we look to become a better person. We go into Ramadan one way, we ask for none of us are perfect. God tells us in the Quran that if He were to punish humanity for our wrong, not one of us would be left on the earth. So we know none of us are perfect. But we do have things we want to be forgiven for from the last Ramadan to now. So we ask Allah to forgive us. But we also need to learn to forgive ourselves too. and to be merciful to ourselves. You know, oftentimes we talk about forgiving others, but what about forgiving ourselves? You know, the fast is, like I said, was intended to bring us closer to Allah, to remind us also of those less fortunate than ourselves. Today we have 60 million refugees in the world today. 60 million refugees in the world. And if we ever would experience what they are experiencing, not having a home, not having a roof over their head, sleeping in an area that, they really don't want to be in, no one wants to be in a refugee camp. 60 million refugees in the world today, and they're suffering. They're hungry. They got families they want to raise. And so, but when we fast Ramadan, the month of Ramadan, it brings us and reminds us of their suffering, other people's suffering. Right here in Washington, D.C., we have homeless, regardless of what their race or nationality. If we have homeless people, we should do not only look to donate to charities during this month of Ramadan and help feed the hungry, but we should also do this throughout the year. That's what Ramadan teaches us, not to do this thing temporarily for 30 days, and then after 30 days, we go back to go back to our normal everyday life, and then we forget about those less fortunate than ourselves. So Ramadan reminds us of being conscious and sensitive to those who are less fortunate than ourselves. It's also an exercise that will bring about physical benefits, but more important, spiritual benefits. Some people have called it a detoxification, physical detoxification, but it's also a spiritual detoxification. It teaches us to have the best of language. We pray and we ask Allah to guide us. It brings families together. We come together and we, when the sun sets, we break bread with each other and have our iftar meal. We all come together and we have a family-like atmosphere, you know, and it's a warm, warm situation to come together. And then later on at night, the other thing too, for those who may not know, we also later on at night, after we said all five of our prayers and we have eaten and we have a break, we also do, it's not obligatory, it's voluntarily, we're not obligated, that is, to pray the Tarawih prayer. But we do, the Prophet stressed that we should pray the Tarawih prayer. The Tarawih prayer can be, you know, approximately 11 prayers. And the reason why it's called Tarawih, the Arabic word raha is one of the roots. There's another root where I can't think of it right now, but raha is one of the root words, and it means to take a break or take a rest in between. So we pray four rakahs, we take pray two rakahs, and then get up and pray two more rakahs, units that is, and then we take a break in between. And if you go to many masjids, sometimes the prayers can be, you know, last for a whole hour and a half sometimes, depending on the person reciting. The month of Ramadan is a blessed month. It's a month that we want to, in fact, after we get into the month of Ramadan, many of us would hate to see Ramadan go. We really don't want to see it go back out because it's such a beautiful time and beautiful spirit. But I wanted to mention the Quran more because of what's happening in the world today. Too many people are attributing some pretty negative things to Islam, and Ramadan is an opportunity for us to galvanize, so to speak, the opportunity to share with people that the Quran is a beautiful way of life. Islam is a beautiful way of life, but the Quran is a beautiful guidance. And as I mentioned earlier, Imam Muhammad said it's the key. The key is the Quran itself. It's a book of life. It gives us life. And life, some of us like to say, is an acronym that means live Islam faithfully every day, because every human being born is born Muslim by nature. Every human being born is born Muslim by nature. That's when they wake up to Islam or wake up to that nature that they are Muslim by nature, then they come and take Shahada, you know, and begin to practice Islam. So to live Islam faithfully every day, that is the real essence of life. So I'm not sure if I can go any further without having, you know, taking a break and letting someone call in for questions. Do we have any questions, Brother Bilal?
Yes, the call-in number for anyone who has questions would be 657-383-13.
In the meantime, let me also share something else that Imam Muhammad said. And some people say, well, do you want to talk about what Imam Muhammad said? Well, he's my imam. His body is gone. He's passed away. May Allah have mercy on him, grant him paradise, but not his body of knowledge. And that's what I tell everyone. What Allah has blessed him to bring to us is clarity of Islam, clarity of message, and we're not influenced by what happens in the world today, because we had very sound and common sense leadership. You know, Imam Muhammad made the point that the Quran is the word of Allah, and it is life, just as we mentioned earlier, and that our life is not just this body, this flesh and blood. That's what we get also during Ramadan. We realize that we're more than just this flesh and blood. We just buried our brother Muhammad Ali, you know, and yes, it was really touching and very sensitive and loving. But the beauty that was there at that stadium, at that Yum Center, it was fantastic to see that many people come together and praying. And then we go right into Ramadan. Well, really, we had already gone to Ramadan, but, you know, it's beautiful to be fasting and listening to, you know, what's being said about our dear brother. So Ramadan is one of the five pillars of our religion. It's the fourth pillar of our religion. The Hajj is the fifth pillar. And the month of Ramadan is also the ninth month of the Muslim calendar. You know? So some people say, well, why is that important? Because nine represents a birth, a new life. And that's what it represents. And so when we go into Ramadan also, we should have a consciousness that we have an opportunity of being reborn. Like our Christian brothers and sisters say they're reborn. Well, likewise, that's where we go into Ramadan and we come out on the other end. We do everything right. We sincere. We put forth the best effort. We come out on the other end feeling renewed and feeling like a brand new person, inshallah. And then do some other things throughout the year, fasting the traditional sunnah prayers, 6 days of Shawwal and others, and, you know, fasting on Mondays and Thursdays, things like that, to help us keep that spirit throughout the rest of the year. So, and also I want to address, too, many Muslims always say, well, how come you all don't start on the same day around the year? I mean, all throughout the whole year. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that we are to begin our fast in the land in which we live in the sighting of the new moon. And that's what it's based on. So when another Muslim country says they sighted it where they are, that doesn't mean we here in America should start our fast at the same time that they do. And in fact, we don't even pray our five daily prayers. When we're praying Fajr, by the time we're praying Fajr in some of the other countries, they're praying, by then they're praying Dhuhr, either Asr, the afternoon prayer. So likewise, common sense tells us that we are to begin our fast according to the sighting of the moon here in the country in which we live. So I can think of some other things, but I was waiting to see if any. Still no questions yet, huh?
Brother Ben, what we're going to do is we're going to take a slight commercial and we'll be right back with you.
Okay.
Bideman Associates Financial Planning and Insurance. Immediate annuities. Retirees, roll over your 401ks, TSPs, and pension plans into an immediate annuity. It will pay you a monthly income for life guaranteed. Please contact me for a free income quote today. At Bideman Associates, we'll professionally mind your business. Visit us online at www.BidemanAssociatesInsurance.com. Or give us a call at 202-288-5660 or 301-234-9090. Natural skincare by Karima with Shea Butter. We offer a great selection of 100% all-natural moisturizing creams for the face and body without preservatives. Also, check out our hair products. Order online and get them delivered to your home. Check out our new online shop at www.etsy.com. Search for Natural Skincare by KHB. For more information, visit us online at www.naturalskincarebykarima.com or email us at naturalskincarebykarima@gmail.com. Give us a call at 301-534-4475 or fax us at 240-318-3537. Try out our newest product, our peppermint foot rub, for a luxurious feeling your feet won't forget.
Again, callers to speak to our dear brother Benjamin, you can call 657-383-1372.
I apologize, Brother Bilal. I couldn't hear what you said.
I said, yeah, we just finished our commercial. You can continue your conversation.
Oh, okay. Well, one of the things I like to do, too, is quote what the Prophet, said, peace and blessings will all be upon him. That's what I'm saying when I say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said that he addressed his companions on the last day of Shaban, saying, O people, a great month has come over you, a blessed month, a month in which is a night better than 1,000 months, a month in which Allah has made it compulsory upon you to fast by day and voluntarily to pray by night. Whoever draws nearer to Allah by performing any of the optional good deeds in this month shall receive the same reward as performing an obligatory deed at any other time, and whoever discharges an obligatory deed in this month shall receive the reward of performing 70 obligations at any other time. It is the month of patience. The reward of patience is heaven. It is the month of charity and a month in which believers' sustenance is increased. Whoever gives food to a fasting person to break his fast shall have his sins forgiven, and he will be saved from the fire of hell. And he shall have the same reward as the fasting person without his reward being diminished at all. This is what Prophet Muhammad SAW has said to the companions, and this is also applicable to us today. We want to fast because we want these blessings from Allah. We fast because we want to do good. We fast because it brings about a humility. One of the toughest things for some to have learned to learn humility for those who may have been overconfident. In fact, that was one of the things Muhammad Ali said. May Allah grant him paradise and forgive him his sin. Muhammad Ali talked about how over the years of practicing Islam and going through what he went through, how he came to a peaceful state of humility. And we know that, and I'm using him as an example because, you know, the recent things in the news, everybody likes to always talk about his level of confidence and how he was truculent, if you will, and how he was so brash. But he was a very, in his company, if you got around him, as he got older, he was just as calm and peaceful, and we just had regular conversation. Now, when he was younger, the conversation was always, you know, fun, playing tricks and joking. But when it came to Ramadan in Islam, he really was one of the most, I guess I would say he's the quintessential practicing Muslim. As a Muslim. And anyway, Prophet Muhammad also made another point that I wanted to quote. At the time between the five prayers, you know, the two consecutive prayers or Fridays and two consecutive Ramadans, expiations for all that has happened during the period of Ramadan, provided that one has avoided the grave and sins. And that's what we want to do. We want to read the Quran. That's another point leading into, I wanted to lead into, is we read the Quran 1/30th a day. The intention is to get us into the reading of the Quran. Many people don't pick up the Quran until Ramadan. But rather than criticize them for that, because we're not the ones to criticize, only Allah can be a person's judge, but we want to encourage our young people, encourage our children, that as they grow up, this is the book of life. We should read it, not just during Ramadan, but read it throughout the year. And enjoy what you learn from the Quran. In the Quran, Allah addresses all of our issues. He addresses the issues right today that we're faced with Islamophobia. Everybody complains about Islamophobia. Islamophobia has been around since the day that, from the day that the Quran was first revealed from the angel Jibril to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. That's when Islamophobia really began. It didn't begin. It's not a newfound phenomenon in our present day. It's just on the increase because Shaitan is trying to do his best to prove us wrong. Shaitan, as the man pointed out to us, Shaitan is not the enemy to Allah. He's the enemy to man. He wants to trip us up. And so we have Ramadan to keep us in check. We practice. And the things I mentioned earlier, I think I mentioned it, we want to overcome certain frailties and certain sinful ways of our own in Ramadan. Some people are guilty of backbiting, slandering each other. But during Ramadan, you have an opportunity to be so conscious of that, that you should, if a person really applied themselves during this month of Ramadan, then they'll have that fixed on the other end coming out of Ramadan. Until the next Ramadan, you know? So we want to also encourage people to, those who are maybe listening who are not Muslim, I have friends that want to fast and ask, you know, how do you fast Ramadan? And, of course, we tell them and we talk with them about it. But invite people to the masjid. Invite them to the iftar at the masjid. I'm talking about the non-Muslim. Invite them to come eat with us so that people can hear the same message that many of us heard. I don't. Many of us do not consider ourselves to be called converts or reverts. We consider ourselves to be awakened. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was not a convert. He was not a revert. He was awakened to Islam by the angel Gabriel. Allah sent them to awaken him. And likewise, we are awakened. In this community, we have always been known to say things like first resurrection, second resurrection. We never call it a first conversion or a second conversion. So when we read the Quran during the month of Ramadan, it is an awakening of the soul. And then, and the point that we, in the last 10 days of Ramadan, we also acknowledge the night of power. Oftentimes, we like to say the night of power. The word is Laylat al-Qadr. Qadr, oftentimes, is really translated as destiny. And Allah says it's better than, I think it was 100 months, 100, excuse me, 70 years. But it comes out to 84 years. That's what the number comes out to. I don't have the Quran in front of me right now. But when we fast the month of Ramadan and we go into the Laylat al-Qadr, the last 10 days of Ramadan, I like to say that we're looking for it's the night of destiny. It's the night that we're looking to for our destiny and looking for a better life in order to prove ourselves, improve ourselves, rather. And so some of the things that we may carry, everyday things that we may carry with us, we have an opportunity that night to focus and to look at, you know, overcoming any of our own shortcomings and what have you. So I would be willing to take some questions if we have any. Hello?
Brother Benjamin, we don't have any callers. We had one that looked like they hung up, so we will keep everything pending, and if one should come up, I will definitely...
Well, I'm sorry, you got to talk slower because I'm still getting your phone. I mean, I'm still getting the feedback on the phone.
Okay. We had one caller, but they did just hang up. So we are waiting on, I suppose, the next one. But just let me remind everyone that you can speak with Brother Benjamin by calling. Thank you. Again, 657-383-1372. Brother Benjamin, you said something interesting a few moments ago. You were saying those who fast during the month of Ramadan receive blessings for 84 years. Brother Benjamin,
well, no,
that's a lifetime.
Yeah, the Quran says that, I was speaking of Laylatul Qadr, the night of destiny or the night of power. Allah said it's better than 1,000 months. I think I might have misquoted and connected two things. But he says that the Quran, Allah says it's better than 1,000 months. And 1,000 months comes to approximately 83.33 years. And that's a life, that's two lifetimes. Because Allah also says, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I lived a lifetime among you. And at the time he said that, he was 40. So 83 years would be equivalent to two lifetimes. So Allah tells us in the Quran that the Laylatul Qadr, the night of destiny, is better than 1,000 months. So that's what I was saying, that 1,000 months is 83 years. So, and then on that night, Laylatul Qadr, on that night, some people say, well, what do you all do? Because I just heard somebody ask me that. Some people call it a vacation. They, you know, we do what's called itikaf, where we spend time in the masjid away from, you know, and spend the last 10 days in the masjid as much as possible. Some people spend the whole day, the last 10 days, totally there. And spend time in reading Quran, doing du'as. Aisha, radiallahu anha, she spoke of the Prophet and said that the Prophet, there's one du'a that I do know that it's a short du'a, that he said that, you say, oh Allah, you are pardoning and you love to pardon, so pardon me. Or you love to forgive, so forgive me. And so that's what we're looking for. On Laylatul Qadr, the night of destiny, we're reciting Quran. We're spending time reading. We're asking for Allah's blessings. We're spending time in prayer. We're asking for forgiveness. We're begging for forgiveness, you know. And the Prophet also said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever stands in prayer, you know, during Laylatul Qadr, while nourishing his faith, with self-evaluation, expecting reward from Allah, will have all of his sins forgiven. All of his sins forgiven. And that's what we want. We want to be forgiven for our wrongdoings and our sins. You know? So, it's a time of elevation also. And so we want to spend as much time as we can this month of Ramadan praying, fasting, asking Allah for forgiveness, striving in self-restraint. Because some people get tested. We know, you know, when some people get hungry, they get more testy. That's also the test for them, you know. And so, you know, practicing self-restraint and not giving in to that anger within. So, and I'm thinking there's some other things that we can talk about too. I really want to kind of trying to hold back, but this recent development we've had after burying our brother Muhammad Ali during this month of Ramadan, then we have someone who the media and everyone is claiming to be Muslim to go out and commit a terrorist activity. First of all, for this guy, and I'm not going to dignify to call his name or anything, and I'm not going to turn this into a political thing, but sometimes I think it's good for us to address it because people want to hear what we're thinking about there during this month of Ramadan. Had this individual been practicing Ramadan, practicing Islam and fasting Ramadan, then he would have never taken the action. That's the simplest way to answer that. He would have never taken the action he took. So if you're practicing Ramadan, you know, you don't do things like that. And, you know, had he been practicing and fasting and praying, he wouldn't have time to be even thinking about getting radicalized by misunderstanding of the religion. You know, in the world today, in the Muslim community, we are called, we use the words Muslim, Mujrimun, Munafik, Martyrs, and quite frankly, that's how we can be identified. You know, the mu'min is the person who's the believer. The Muslim is one who submits their will to the will of Allah. The mujrimun is the criminal. The munafik is the hypocrite. And the martyr is one who's died in the cause of Islam. But a person who's committing suicide can't be called, or a person who's murdering people cannot be called a martyr. They're not a martyr, they're a murderer. And I wanted to say that, hopefully, that if anyone is listening, that may even be listening right now, because sometimes it does happen. They listen in on our calls. They want to learn the religion, see what we're saying, And at the same time, they may be leaning towards radicalization. And if there's anyone listening that's leaning towards radicalization, understand that when a person moves from doing what Allah says, righteousness, not going out and causing harm to others, innocent people, children, elderly, even Prophet Muhammad said, even a tree, harming a tree, even in times of war, the Prophet said, don't even harm a tree. And that person is not in accordance with their Muslim or their Mu'min nature. They are more in accordance with being a criminal, a mujrimun, or a munafik, a hypocrite, and a murderer. So I wanted to say that, I guess, because it is on my mind to say, regarding this month of Ramadan. Ramadan is a beautiful time, and we really should try to encourage individuals as much as possible to give themselves over to Allah's book, to give themselves over to practicing what Allah says in Quran, listening to what the Prophet has said, learning. In fact, I would encourage every Muslim this month of Ramadan to pick a surah, maybe three surahs, if you will, or one. Pick a surah that you would like to learn in Arabic to say in your prayers. A prayer that, every month you should, and even after Ramadan, every month, try to find another surah that you can learn in Arabic. But don't learn just to recite it in Arabic. Know what you're saying. Our great teacher, Imam Muhammad, told us it's not good enough just to memorize the Arabic. That's not the point. The point is to learn the Arabic, to recite it, that it can also change and resonate on our soul.
Brother Benjamin, I'm glad that you brought up this subject because I have a question.
I think President Obama answered that very well when he said that it's just a terminology that's used in the circles of politics. The individuals who use that term, they're using it in the media. For the media, it's sensationalism. Imam Muhammad said that's what they're about. They sell in sensationalism. Imam Muhammad said when they use or not so much use that particular term, but the same thing applies to that particular term. They want to sensationalize their report. And it's just like a movie. People are not going to go see a movie unless they can be hooked in the first 5 minutes. I'm also a screenwriter. That's one of the things they teach you in screenwriting is to do, have at the beginning of your film or your screenplay that you write, is to have in the first 5 minutes, you ought to hook the people with some kind of event that will make them want to stay and watch the rest of the movie. Well, they do the same thing in the media. And for the politicians, they do the same in order to galvanize or to get the attention of those who they want to vote for them. In this case, we know what's happening in the world right now, in America anyway. And so they use radical Islam. There is no such thing as radical Islam. In fact, Imam Muhammad made it clear that there's no problem with Islam. That is what he said to us in the class once. There's no problem in Islam, but there is a problem with Muslims. And that's a fact. And he said there's a problem with Muslims because they're human beings. And oftentimes people are allowing extremism, and I would encourage anyone, read what Imam Talib Sharif wrote for the press release regarding this situation in Orlando. I think he addressed it real well in his press release. But there's no such Brother Bilal, this thing of radical Islam, there's no such thing as radical Islam. It's an oxymoron, if you will. That's what it is, an oxymoron. And so they use this and say radical, and then the moderate Muslim. And they don't say moderate Christian and radical Christian. And Imam Sharif pointed out, if I may say this, he pointed out that this situation with this guy in the gay club who is also, now they're saying he was gay himself, so he really had issues from the beginning. But not to get too much into that, but this comes at the same time, the anniversary, as the shooting that took place in North Carolina with the Caucasian kid who was not a Muslim, and it was a church. He shot up a church. But they don't call it a radical. They didn't call him a radical Christian. He was just as crazy as this guy who set up the gay club. Both of them. They're both in the same boat. And in Islam, we would identify them in the Quran as mujrimun. Both of them are criminals. Their acts were criminal. And if I may say this too, these are not religious. And they try to tatter our religion into this. We need to let them know when they say, oh, radical Islam or jihadists and Islamists, they try to demonize our religion by changing and giving a negative meaning to very positive words, like jihad is a positive word, and people we have friends named jihad. That's a positive word, but they take it and make it a negative. Quite frankly, that's the plan of Satan in the first place. Then they're not trying to help us spread the religion, so they want to demonize us in the religion. So when people say, oh, the guy was a religious guy, he turned religious. No, he didn't. He was sacrilegious. That's the reality. He is not religious. His actions are contrary to Islam. People run around saying, okay, they use terms like Hezbollah, party of God, but their actions is Hezbollah Shaitan. Allah says that in the Quran. He speaks of Hezbollah Shaitan, Hezbollah Allah and Hezbollah Shaitan. You know, so we don't judge people, but we identify them by their actions. So this guy, Omar, and I can't think of top of my head, I can't think of the other guy who shot up the church and killed those innocent people in the church. He was not a Muslim, and that was not a masjid, that was a church. Both of these guys are in the same category. Sacrilegious criminals. That's what they are. They have nothing to do with religion. And so when people say radical Islam, no, it's not radical. These are just criminals. Simple as that. I hope I kind of answered your question.
Very good clarity. And brother, we're going to take one small break. But when we come back, I would like for you to continue your conversation. But I would like to know a little bit more, and I'm sure our audience out there would like to know a little bit more about the Eid celebration. So when we come back, we will entertain that conversation. Be right back after this break.
Bideman Associates Financial Planning and Insurance. Immediate annuities. Retirees, roll over your 401ks, TSPs, and pension plans into an immediate annuity. It will pay you a monthly income for life guaranteed. Please contact me for a free income quote today. At Bideman Associates, we'll professionally mind your business. Visit us online at www.BidemanAssociatesInsurance.com or give us a call at 202-288-5660 or 301-234-9090. Natural Skincare by Karima with Shea Butter. We offer a great selection of 100% all-natural moisturizing creams for the face and body, without preservatives. Also, check out our hair products. Order online and get them delivered to your home. Check out our new online shop at www.etsy.com. Search for Natural Skincare by KHB. For more information, visit us online at www.naturalskincarebykarima.com or email us at naturalskincarebykarima@gmail.com. Give us a call at 301-534-4475 or fax us at 240-318-3537. Try out our newest product, our peppermint foot rub, for a luxurious feeling your feet won't forget.
And for those of you who would like to place commercials with the New Africa Business Association, please feel free to call us at 202-288-5660. Brother Benjamin, like I was asking you before, you please continue with your speech. But before we close out in about 10 more minutes, let us know something about the Eid celebration, if you would. Brother Ben.
Okay. The Eid is pronounced Eid al-Fitr. It's two Eids. We have two holiday celebrations throughout the year, but the one for Ramadan is Eid al-Fitr. Eid al-Fitr, excuse me. Eid al-Fitr is the festival where we now are breaking the fast. We've either fasted for 29 or either 30 days based on the sighting of the moon. And so we've, you know, some fast 29 days or 30 days. But the Eid al-Fitr, what it means too, is to return to nature. Fitr means nature, to come back where we break the fast. We're no longer fasting. The fast is now over. We get together in a festive or festival type of setting. We have a khutbah or talk that takes place with two units. We call them rakas, but two units of prayer. And the khatib or the imam will speak also. And we all get together, and after the prayer, after the Eid al-Fitr prayer, the Salat prayer, the Islamic prayer, and the two rakas, after we finish that and the talk, then we all get together and enjoy the rest of the day, eating and enjoying each other's company. So that's what Eid al-Fitr, that's what we do. And also, too, something I wanted to mention about Eid al-Fitr. It's one day. It's really a one-day celebration after fasting the month of Ramadan. I can't think of the hadith right now, but the Prophet ﷺ spoke of having a celebration over a three-day period. So I always thought to myself the logic of that, and this is just my opinion. I'm not saying I learned this from anyone. I have sat with sheikhs in, other countries when traveling, what have you. But I'm not going to mention names. But I think that oftentimes, even though it's a single day, after fasting, we do the Eid al-Fitr celebration with the prayer, the khutbah, and the celebration of eating and enjoying each other's company. When I read the Prophet, peace be upon him, spoke of having it over 3 days, I think it covers those who may, some people may fast 29 days because they're excited to move on. They might be following another country, even though they're here in America, for an example, just for an example, saying, I have employees that are from Egypt. And they told me they fast according to Egypt because they want to be in accordance with their family members. Now, that's not really what the Prophet said. He said following to begin your fast in the country where you are and the sighting of the moon. But nevertheless, when people do that, sometimes they're in their fast in 29 days, others may end theirs in 30. But by having to eat one day and then over 3 days, one day for those who finish, the 3 days would be enough to cover. Everybody can still get together because I still myself, if I finish the fast, and for an example, we finish the fast today and tomorrow's to eat, Fitra, then on the next day after that, for those who may be still fasting because they followed another school of thought or followed their homeland, we can all still get together and I still go to the Eid also. Enjoy, 2 days of Eid or 3 days of Eid. So I hope I answered the question, the Eid al-Fitr. It's a time of fasting.
Thank you, Brother Benjamin. Yes, you did answer my question very good. I would, at this time, ask you if you have any closing remarks. I would invite you to go ahead and give them. And I'd like to thank you on the behalf of the New Africa Business Association. I'd like to thank you on behalf of the president of the New Africa Business Association, which is our residential Imam Tala Sharif. Brother Benjamin, again, thanks so much for being with us. If you have some closing remarks, we will welcome them at this time.
One thing I would like to say when I think of the fact that our brother, I want to say my brother, but it's our brother, Muhammad Ali's passing, and how he spent more time with the Quran as he got older, and he did a lot more da'wah. He did da'wah regardless of his life, but he did a lot more da'wah in passing out leaflets on Islam, reading the Quran and what have you. There's another hadith for the Prophet, a being, I like to say, they say man in translation, but really a being, comes into a person's grave when they're in their grave and keeps the angels that come to help the deceased Muslim pass to the next life. For the person who spends time with the Quran, I'm saying that because we want to encourage people to read the Quran during the month of Ramadan every day, 1/30 a day, but also read it throughout the year. And the Quran consequently can become a protection for us. So the being that comes into the grave and protects a person from the angels who are coming to take him for judgment says that, that being is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that being is the Quran, which is telling his companions. And that being that serves as the Quran says that I will not leave until this person is taken straight to paradise. So to me, that's just another thought that the Prophet ﷺ was giving us and telling us to spend more time with Quran and the benefits of reading Quran during Ramadan and thereafter. And the fact that this is not just a fast or staying away from our carnal desires of not eating or not cursing or anything else that we may be doing contrary to Islam, but the our self-restraint is to build that human being that Allah wants us to be, to bring us back around to our human nature. And that's why I appreciate leaders like Imam Wahdi Muhammad and Imam Talib Sharif and Muhammad Ali. I appreciate people like that in my life because that's what we should be about. And the Prophet said, and when you appreciate your brother or your sister, you should let them know that.
Well, thanks so much, Brother Benjamin. On behalf of the New Africa Business Association, thanks so much for listening. I'd like to say Ramadan Mubarak to all of our listeners. Thanks so much, Brother Ben.
Yes, Ramadan Mubarak. As-salamu alaykum.
You know it's you that I am longing. Oh, I tell you I mean it. I'm all for you, body and soul. I can't believe it. It's hard to conceive it that you throw away Are you pretending? It looks like the ending. Unless I can have one more chance to prove, dear, my life a wreck you're making. You know I'm yours for just the taking. Oh, I tell you I mean it. I'm all for you, body and soul.
Financial planning and insurance, immediate annuities, retirees, roll over your 401ks, TSPs, and pension plans into an immediate annuity. It will pay you a monthly income for life guaranteed. Please contact me for a free income quote today. At Bynum & Associates, we'll professionally mind your business. Visit us online at www.bynumandassociatesinsurance.com or give us a call at 202-288-5660. Or 301-234-9090.
For you I cry.